Our scripture lesson for the morning is from the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, starting with verse 20. And it reads as follows. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing, as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody here might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
We're back to the story of the ark. Noah and the ark, after our brief respite through the story of the Virgin Mary. Noah and his family have spent 120 years building the ark and gathering the food and the animals that God commanded. When the time for preparation ended, God himself closed the doors of the ark. In the middle of page 4, Genesis 7, 13 through 17, 23 and 24 reads as follows. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the bread of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted the ark, and it rose high above the earth. Verse 23 says, so he, that being God, destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Noah and his family were the only ones saved from the destruction of the flood. Once the flood waters receded, Noah and his family disembarked from the ark, and Noah offered a thanksgiving offering to God. God then made the covenant with Noah to never repeat such a cataclysmic event as the flood until the end of the earth. Now, in God's covenant with Adam and Eve, God gave them the fruit of the trees to eat, with one exception. On top of page 5, Genesis 2, 15 through 17 says, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. But now in the covenant with Noah, God gives the assurance of seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now, there is a material difference between eating the fruit from a tree and sowing seeds to produce a crop. The laws of sowing and reaping require more work than the laws of gathering fruit. Now our lives are now governed by the laws of seed time and harvest, which is sowing and reaping. Seed time implies that whatever crop we are to produce is governed by the seed that is planted. The seed is the miniature essence of that which is to be produced, surrounded by a supply of nourishment, enclosed in a protective coat. That's what a seed is. Harvest is the time that we reap the crop produced by sowing or planting the seeds. Farming is that activity that goes on between seed time and harvest, including both of them, and it involves performing activities that provide an environment for the crop so that the crop grows to its optimum potential. Now, God's covenant with Noah tells that God will supply the initial seeds, but we have the responsibility to plant the seeds, farm the field in which the seeds are planted, and then harvest the crop. The hallmark of seed time and harvest is growth. On page 5 at the bottom, Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says this: Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, there is a certain accuracy in the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6 and 7 informs us that the thing with that we sow is the thing that we will reap. So now this is the accuracy of the law. If you sow a seed, it will come up accurately whatever you sowed. So if you sow beans, you will not get corn. You will get what you sowed. The law of sowing and reaping is an accurate law. Matthew 7:15-20 on top of page 6. Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear fruit, good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now, verse 17 of this passage makes the point that you cannot gather grapes from thorn bushes. If you want grapes, you have to go to a grapevine. By the same token, sowing and reaping are accurate activities. You know what you are going to get from the ground when you plant the seed into the ground. As I said before, you cannot plant beans and realistically hope to reap corn. You reap what you sow. The law is accurate. Now, there is also a certain activity in the law of sowing and reaping. In order to reap, you first have to sow. Seed in the barn generally does not grow. You have to put the seed into the ground. Jesus says in the middle of page 6, which is John 12:24-25, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, Jesus speaks here of the planting process. In order to produce a crop, we must first plant or bury the seed. Without burial, the seed does not grow. If we bury one seed, however, not only does the seed grow, but it produces much more than one seed. One grain of corn sowed produces several ears of corn, each of which has more than one grain of corn on them. Neither ears nor grains of corn can be produced, however, without the activity of sowing. The law requires activity. Now, there is also a certain aftermath or outcome to the law of sowing and reaping. Once the crop is sown, it must be cultivated and then harvested. Jesus said in Miller page 6 on Luke 13:6-9, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, For 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he, that being the keeper of the vineyard, answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone also this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down. If the expected crop does not appear as a result of our sowing, we must analyze our cultivation processes, fertilize the crop, and look for fruit during the next season. As Jesus said on the bottom of page 6, Luke 8:5-8, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, sowing seed in the proper type of soil and using the proper cultivation process will lead to reaping, which is the accurate aftermath to the activity of sowing. Now, while God does not promise Noah successful crops every year, God does promise that the time for crops will come. God does not promise us an outcome, but he promises us an opportunity. In our nation's Declaration of Independence, we echo God's sentiment on the matter when it says this, and we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, the pursuit of happiness is the manifestation of the law of sowing and reaping. You have, as an American, a right to pursue, that is to sow, that which will make you happy. Whether or not we reap what we sow is another matter. Reaping is the accurate aftermath of the activity, which means that if we use the proper seed, if we sow in the proper types of soil, and if we use the proper cultivation technique, we will reap that which we have sown. So now we need to examine our life process. Look at what we have sown, where we are sowing it, and how we are cultivating it in order to determine whether or not we are going to receive the hundredfold return about which the Lord speaks. Think for a moment. What are you planning to get from your daily activities? I was discussing mine with my son just last night. I told him that I have come to the conclusion from my reading and my research that I either have to lose 130 pounds in the next 5 years or resign myself to death during the next 7 years. My body cannot carry the extra weight much longer, and continuing to sow the sin of gluttony will lead to my demise. As a man on his deathbed once said, the Lord has given me a message to carry and a horse to ride. However, I have killed the horse, and now I cannot carry the message. When you read of my premature heart attack or stroke, understand that there is no point in remonstrating against God, because he has already told us that we are living under the rules of seed time and harvest. That which you sow, that shall you also reap. Last week, we were discussing the benefits of virginity until marriage. It is interesting that many of those who are the most financially successful among us send their children to academies that are single-sex institutions. They recognize a couple of things. Number one, if their sons are going to be able to focus their attention on those academic courses that will make them the most successful, they need to be separated from the inherent distraction of the opposite sex. And number two, if their sons are going to be able to avoid the pitfall of promiscuous sexuality, they need a certain degree of separation from the opposite sex outside the family, and their contacts with those of the opposite sex need to be controlled. So they send them to single-sex academies and chaperone their activities to make sure that, number one, they complete their academic course of study without distraction, and number two, their contacts with the opposite sex are controlled so that they do not lead to any illegitimacy in their family. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy on the matter in the middle of page 7. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. How young men perceive young women is an act of sowing, which will lead to a certain type of reaping. The reason that we in churches call one another brother and sister is because the Lord, through the lips of the Apostle Paul, makes it clear that we as men, either young or old, need to be pure in our dealings with young women. Sowing purity will lead us to a crop of longevity in marriage and freedom from illegitimate children and sexually transmitted disease. Purity will also allow us to have the ultimate in a fulfilling sexual experience with our one mate, as we can be sexually uninhibited with the one with which we have permission from God to explore our sexuality. As well as that, the Lord plans for us to be financially independent as a function of sowing and reaping. In the middle of page 7, Deuteronomy 8, 18 through 19 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to his fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve and worship them, I testify against you this day that you will surely perish." And then Paul in the book of 1 Timothy says, chapter 6, verse 17 through 19, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, showing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I have learned the secret of obtaining wealth. Work, take care of your family, spend less than you earn, invest or sow a portion of which of that which the Lord has given you, tithe and give liberally." Deuteronomy 8 and 18 reminds us that it is the Lord who gives us the power to get wealth. And 1 Timothy 6, 17 reminds us not to trust in the wealth that God has given, but to trust in the God who has given the wealth. If you want to reap wealth, you must first sow that which the Lord is giving you to sow. The Lord is not interested in watching anyone become a reservoir of selfishness, but he wants us to be a channel of blessings, and he is willing to send a blessing to anyone that he can send a blessing through. My dad proved this to me. He worked two jobs during the first 15 or so years that I knew him. As long as I lived at home, we were poor. We always had food, clothes, and music lessons, but if you ask Dad, we were as poor as church mice. One day, after my youngest brother graduated from college, I received a postcard from Dad from London, England, then one from Paris, France, then one from Germany followed. India, Thailand, and San Francisco followed. I started calling home to see if he was there, and one day he answered the telephone. "Dad," I said, "what is the deal on these postcards from Europe and Asia?" "Well, Darryl," he said, "your mother wanted to go on a trip around the world, so I took her." "I thought you were so poor," I replied. "So what did you use for money?" Dad said, "I used the money that I used to use to buy a dozen eggs, a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk, a pound of bacon, and a box of cereal every day for you and your two brothers to eat." Dad sowed into our lives, and the Lord blessed him to see the day in which he could reap the benefits of what he sowed. God's processes are not speedy processes, but just as there is a certain amount of time between seed time and harvest, sowing the right seed will bring an aftermath that accurately reflects our activity. So now, what we learn from the book from Noah as he comes out of the ark is that seed time and harvest will never pass away until the earth passes away. And this is the law under which we live now. We live under the law of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. And we should always keep that in mind, because that which you sow, that shall you also reap. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for that which you gave Noah, that you are still giving us, the laws of sowing and reaping. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to regulate our activities, that we will not sow in fields in which we do not want to reap, and that we will sow those things that we want to come up in our lives. Bless us, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you always give us another season. So if we do not have a crop during this season, we have another season until as long as the earth lasts. Now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for those who came out today, for your wisdom, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.